So it's a pleasure presenting here. So I'm speaking in the theory section, but what we do is actually quite applied. So we don't have big theories. In some sense, we don't even understand what we do. We just use data, we analyze it to solve practical problems. So we can call it a data-driven drug discovery, for example, because often our applications are in the drug discovery field. So what is the situation when it comes to data today? You might have heard 10 or 12 years ago, the genome was sequenced. Then there was this big hype. Now we know the genome. Now we know how to discover drugs. That didn't quite become true. But still, the case is right now, we have much more data. The question is, where's the signal in this type of data? So how can we extract from the genome, for example, what are the proteins we need to target to cure cancer? And so this is what we are doing in the group. And so we look at a very wide variety of different types of data. And that's chemical and biological data. So I'm a chemist by training. I'm very happy to be a chemist, but 10 or 12 years ago, I realized if I design a new molecule and I don't understand what that molecule does in the biological context, I still don't know what is the best molecule to make. I need to understand both domains. And in order to make sense of the huge amounts of data we have right now, we need computer science algorithms as well. So I would say our research is in the middle of chemistry, biology, and computer science. Yeah, so we're trying to analyze data from the life sciences to then, for example, design a molecule. And what we do is we analyze data, and there are two big aspects of data in the life sciences today. One is it's quite a lot of data, but that's actually less of a problem. One of the bigger problems we deal with is actually how is that data annotated? How is it standardized? And that's one of the big problems we deal with. How do we actually get biological data and bring it into a format so the computer can analyze it to answer meaningful questions? And so what are the typical data types we actually look at? And that is, as I said, quite heterogeneous, so quite different types of data. It's, for example, molecular structures. Of course, we're in a chemistry department, so chemistry can be quite powerful. We can make 10 to the 60 molecules. We can buy maybe 20 million molecules right now. So that gives us quite a lot of power when we want to modulate a biological system. But as I said, we also need to understand the biological side. So what does actually happen if we put that molecule into a cell or an animal or into a human being? And so what we also look at is something called the phenotype. So as Bobby mentioned before, for example, you have a cancer cell, the tumor can shrink. So that would be a phenotypic readout. Or we kill a cell, or we modulate sleep. So these are always the phenotypic readouts at the end of modulating biology. But what we also need to understand is the protein or mode of action. So if you take a drug, it gets dissolved in the stomach, distributed through the body, and then it binds to a protein, usually, and this is how the molecule exerts its effect. And so these are all the different levels of understanding compound action. We put a compound into a system, it binds to proteins, then we might have signaling pathways as well, so different types of data again, and then we see an effect. And we are trying to integrate data of all of those three types. And there's one particular reason for that. We can answer a very relevant question by doing so. So what are the types of questions we can answer? It's usually the question for one of those corners of the triangle. So one question is, if I take a drug and I see an effect, for example, I see aspirin, I take aspirin, and I get gastrointestinal bleeding as a common side effect of that, why does that actually happen? So we can explain the effect, or in case of a desired effect, the mode of action of a compound. But we can also ask for the chemistry. So I want to cure cancer. That cancer is driven by a mutation in a particular gene, in a particular kinase that is upregulated, for example. We want to inhibit that kinase, and data can tell us what is the chemistry we need to make to inhibit that kinase. And finally, the third important question is that goes into the area of personalized medicine. If I have a drug and I give it to a patient, let's say an HIV patient, for example, with a particular genomic sequence of the virus, can we predict whether the patient responds to treatment? And in many cases, we can. That's an area of growing importance right now. In all those areas, we need information about chemistry and biology in order to answer the question at hand. So what are typical projects we've worked on in recent years? So these are just random projects that PhD students worked on recently. One is we were working with a big pharma company, Eli Lilly, to explain how sleeping pills, new potential sleeping pills, actually work in rats. So in this case, we had data where rats were treated with compounds, and the computer was able to make a hypothesis, give suggestions why those compounds have a particular effect. But we also look forward where we're designing multi-target ligands. So we take the computer and we say, give me the right chemistry to act on a particular receptor, as well as inhibiting a particular enzyme for processes that are, for example, relevant and neurodegenerative disorders such as Parkinson's. What we also heavily work on is repurposing drugs. So you have 3,000 drugs that are approved right now, but underlying biology is actually related between diseases. So there's not one drug for one receptor for one disease. All of that is interlinked. So you can repurpose drugs, and this is where data can help as well. You can use a drug that was originally designed for one disease for another disease. And for example, this is the rat sleep data project we were working on. So in this case, rats, 500 rats were treated with sleep-inducing compounds, and you can measure how well does a rat sleep if it sleeps, and how awake is it if it's awake, because then the rat runs around, it mates, and so on. So you can measure activity, and you want to have the desired effect, but not the undesired effect. And so in this case, the computer was able to come up with bioactivity profiles, so combinations of different receptors that a drug needs to be active on in order to achieve the desired outcome. So that explains how drugs work, and you can also design new compounds in turn that actually give you the desired effect. And this is a project I was personally very excited about. That's about differentiating stem cells and to the desired tissue. So in this case, we were starting with stem cells. The computer was choosing compounds that differentiate stem cells into cardiomyocytes. And after a few weeks, that takes about 3 or 4 weeks, we were really able to observe beating heart muscles effectively. And that area becomes more important right now. For example, if you want to regenerate beta cells, for example, in the pancreas or different other tissues, people get older. So the question is, how can you actually create artificial tissues, for example? And this is where computers can help as well. And so I'm an academic right now, but what I always find quite excited is actually to put that into practice. So what you can do, and Cambridge is a very good place for that, is really take your research here and then see how can that be applied in practice. And there's now, for example, a MPhil program that is being started here where people work with the Judge Business School. There's lots of entrepreneurial spirit around here. So if you want to put your research into practice, this is a very good place for that as well. And in this startup Helix that employs about 15 people right now, we do repurpose drugs for rare diseases. And so what is the composition of the group? It's about 24 people right now. People are funded by public money, also quite a lot by industry. And we work on the border between chemistry, biology, pharmacology, but also computer sciences. Yeah, so if you're interested in that borderline between the different areas, feel free to let me know. And we have 3 studentships already confirmed for next October. So with Glaxo, for example, on predictive drug toxicity, another project with a public funder that we are confirming right now on a similar area. And with Eli Lilly, we are working on using gene expression data to understand the mode of action of drugs. So if any of those areas interests you, feel free to let me know. Thank you.